Welcome to Radio Gorgeous, the gorgeous kitchen. Here with me today is Joe Pratt, who is a cookery writer, chef, food stylist, editor, and presenter. Welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Thank you very much.
We are here today to talk about your latest cookbook, because you have a slew of them, I would say. The Flexible Pescatarian.
That's the one. Yes, you're right. It is my latest one. And it's a bit of a mouthful at times, I suppose, to say The Flexible Pescatarian. But it's a book that I'm really proud about. And it's a sort of a natural follow on from my previous book, which was called The Flexible Vegetarian. And that's basically, so sort of jumping back to The Flexible Vegetarian, it's based all around recipes that are suitable for people who want to eat a vegetarian diet, or just a vegetarian dish. Maybe they want the flexibility of being able to add meat or fish to that basic recipe to start with, or later on in the stage, or even another day you might be cooking for one person in the house that's vegetarian or a meat eater. So the recipes have that flexibility, really, to be vegetarian or not, and they're all also many of them are vegan, and that was great. And it's tapped into a really great time of the market. It's a trend that we're all really aware of, cutting down on particularly our meat intake. And actually, because of that reason, that's why the pescatarian book sort of has evolved, really, because fish is an important part of our diet. I mean, I'm a big believer in keeping everything very much in moderation. So I do eat meat and I do eat fish, but I will eat vegetarian dishes. But I found that when I was sort of doing a lot of recipes from the Flexible Vegetarian, I was missing the fish, and it's very good for us. It's very healthy, and you know, it's just another book idea which I think, I hope, will go down well. And it's got the similar idea in the sense that you've got the flexibility of the recipes. They can either be vegetarian or fishy, so they're great for your non-fish eating days or your fish eating days. But the book contains no meat, so it is purely pescatarian friendly.
And that is an idea that has really taken hold. But people really don't like the preachy aspect of things. You know, I think there's a very strong reaction against the popularity of veganism, where people are like, oh, I want to eat meat. Yeah. And I think you've done a really clever and kind and helpful thing in making it like, look, it's flexible. We're just saying add more, you know, or eat less. And this is a way to do it. And this is, you know, in the same tradition of your previous books that have been praised for interesting tweaks on classics, but that are easy to follow recipes, look great, and taste great.
You've hit the nail on the head. It's exactly it. It is. It's giving people that flexibility and not preaching at them. A previous book I've done was called In the Mood for Healthy Food. And I was really, really conscious in there that I didn't want people to think it was a diet book or a detox book. To me, eliminating anything from your diet just makes you want to eat it more and more. And as I said a minute ago, you know, it's getting everything in moderation. So, if you don't preach, then people can just feel a little bit more relaxed about food. We eat food all the time, so we have to enjoy what we're cooking, we have to enjoy what we're eating, and we've got such a great variety of ingredients in this country, and it's nice to be able to just give people inspiration in cookery books, because we do get stuck for ideas. I get stuck for ideas all the time, and I'll go flicking through a magazine or a book and I think, oh yeah, I'll do that.
Well, let's go back to that. How did you start cooking, and what got you into cooking in the first place?
I grew up in a house where my mum enjoyed food. She enjoyed cooking. She was somebody who she subscribed to something called the Cordon Bleu cookery class or cookery course. And it was every week, I think, or every couple of weeks, a booklet would come and she'd stick it in the big folder and she would try out these recipes, and they did a lot of entertaining in the house, my mum and dad. But also both my grandmas enjoyed cooking and baking, and they both had very different styles. One of them was quite precise. She'd follow a recipe to the point. She'd add her own little twist here and there, but she'd write it down and she'd know that what she'd done. And then my other grandma, she was the opposite. She was very slapdash and threw anything in. If there was nothing in the cupboard, she'd just try something else. And I think I sort of got all my excitement and love of cooking through that, really. And actually, my style has grown from, I do like the preciseness of cooking, but I don't want to have to stick to a recipe full stop, otherwise it throws you. I sort of grew up enjoying food. And then when I was at school, we were lucky enough to have a great cook at my primary school. I used to get involved in sort of nosing around the kitchen saying, what are we having for lunch today? And asking her for recipes.
You must have been the pride and joy.
I saw her not so long ago, a couple of years ago, and she reminded me of it. She said, you used to be always there saying, what are we having? Can I work out how to cook this with you? You know, that was at primary school, and did home economics as a GCSE and then A-level, and just thought, I don't really know what else I want to do other than food. There's nothing out there that's really jumping out at me. So followed my passion, really, and did a degree in home economics, which isn't really a course that's available under that title anymore. But there are many food degrees out there and similar sort of ways into what I've started doing. And then just got into recipe writing, recipe testing, food styling, assisting lots of different people from a young age. And when I first left university, got to work with numerous different chefs along the way when they were in their heyday, sort of doing TV programs and books and working behind the scenes on things. And I just learnt and constantly learnt and then realised I just want to do some of my own writing, really. I can do all of this ghost writing for other people and all the here's one I made earlier for somebody else, but what about if I try and get myself in the limelight more? And I haven't really looked back since. It's been fantastic, and it's great because I can always now look out for the next trend or the next big thing or the way my lifestyle's going, really. It's sort of the way my books have followed what I do tend to be the way the next book is.
RadioGorgeous.com.
Let's talk about some of your previous books. In the Mood for Food, In the Mood for Entertaining, In the Mood for Healthy Food, and you had two Madhouse cookbooks. Tell me about those.
Yeah, so the Madhouse cookbook came when I started a family, really. So previous books were sort of based on you can cook anything whenever you want to. There's nothing restricting you.
Exactly.
You go to any food market, nobody's holding you back. And then my husband and I started a family, and that was it. My life changed. It was turned upside down. And I had to think very differently from a cooking point of view. Time was short. I still wanted to eat well, and I wanted to feed my children well and my family, and still do entertaining. So the Madhouse cookbook is basically based on that. So there's a section in there which is Monday to Friday to survival, and it's quick and easy recipes that you can do with tips on what to do with leftovers. And then there was the section all about the weekend baking and sort of longer family lunches.
When someone's there to hold the baby.
Exactly. There's a few recipes in there which is you can do with one arm. So there's a sort of a tortilla type thing, one arm tortilla, which you just have to hold a baby on one hip and do the cooking with the other. And then the last chapter in there was sort of based around entertaining at home, because paying for babysitters is ridiculously expensive, and going out is harder when you've got a family to think about. There's too much to organise. So getting people over to you is always a really nice thing. So that section's called Cling On To Your Social Life. And you're clinging on desperately, getting people over, and there's cocktails and there's meals that you can cook and then do something with leftovers for the kids the next day. So then that sort of, it went down well. And then it was called The Madhouse Cookbook, but it's come out as a paperback, and it's called In the Mood for Quick Family Food. It's exactly the same book, but it's just got a different title to follow on the In the Mood For theme, I suppose. Really
fantastic. Can you tell me, because I want to get back to the flexible pescatarian, there is a lot of confusion about, I know we're supposed to eat oily fish, but then I'm not supposed to eat certain fish at certain times, and then is it sustainable, and is it, you know, so while I am supposed to eat more of it, am I, and how, and can you enlighten us a little bit around that?
You're right, it is scary, it's confusing, and I think that puts a lot of people off cooking fish, which is a shame, because it is such a quick and easy ingredient to cook. We're not all lucky enough to have fishmongers on our doorstep. And a lot of the supermarkets don't necessarily have fish counters, but some do. And whoever it is that's working behind them should be knowledgeable enough to know what's there. But you know, they won't generally sell fresh fish that isn't either sustainable or in season now. Is it becoming a lot better in this country to get better quality fish and things that we really should be eating at the right time? Again, I just think eating everything in moderation, so you don't necessarily have to have the macro, which is high in wonderful oily fatty acids that are good for us. You don't have to have that every day of the week. Once a week is fine, once every 2 weeks. It's just having a little bit of everything. Looking online is a really great way to work out what is in season and what is not in season. There's a brilliant website I like to go to called Eat the Seasons, and it's for fruit, veg, meat, fish, and anything, and you can just type in an ingredient. So for example, if you looked in my book and you thought, oh, there's a recipe using mackerel, is it available now? Just tap in mackerel and it will come up, and it'll show you the season within the UK when it's available. And that's the cheapest and best time to buy your food.
Fantastic. Yes, because it'll be more plentiful, so it'll be fresher and not forced, you know, growing or spawning or whatever, but so it'll be at its most nutritious,
yes,
and its most economical.
Absolutely, without a doubt. And that's the way to, we should all really be thinking about shopping and having ingredients that haven't been flown from all over the world. But the book in particular, the Flexible Pescatarian, the recipes in there don't necessarily give you just one idea of a fish. So it may be a fish curry, and I've not said what fish it has to be. I've given you suggestions because we don't want to feel as though we've got to have that fish. And if we can't get that fish, we can't do the recipe. It's trying different things. And there's some amazing fish out there. You can get all sorts of white fish. Don't always go for the cod and the haddock. There's cheaper versions that are just as tasty. Something like pollock is something that we're seeing a lot more of now. And the same with the oily fish. You don't have to just have the smoked mackerel. The herrings are a brilliant fish to use.
Well, and also if you're going to do it in something like a curry, it's not like the flavor of the fish is going to come out so much, so that, you know, substituting a fish is going to be perfectly fine.
Absolutely. And it's all about trial and error. And fish is so easy to cook compared to meat. People feel as though fish is difficult, but it's quick to cook. Fish, you know, you don't want to overcook it, but a recipe should be quick and easy with fish.
I was going to say, I think that's the aspect that people find difficult, you know, like, you know, certain meats, you know, you can sit there, they'll be fine. I can do something else. It's in the oven for an hour later.
Exactly.
But, you know, fish, exactly, you don't want to overcook it.
No, so. And also if you go shopping, quite often you'll see people, I spend half my life in supermarkets and food shops, and where people will generally pick up a pack of minced beef probably and some chicken breast, not necessarily knowing what they're going to cook with it. It'll go into the fridge and they'll probably use it within the week. Fish, on the other hand, we panic because we think, oh, I've bought it today, I've got to use it straight away. And then something might happen and you don't end up wanting to cook that meal, or you go out, or, and then you feel, oh, that's it. So I won't buy the fish because I don't know if I'm using it. So it does probably take a little bit more planning, but that's where your freezer should be your best friend. And actually you can buy some amazing frozen fish. It's something that we often walk past in the freezer section, the frozen foods, but they're quite often a lot fresher than the fresh fish because it's been frozen pretty much as soon as it's been caught. And then you've got it there in your freezer, it defrosts really quickly, and you've sort of got an instant meal there, really. So yeah, make your freezer your best friend and stick the fish and seafood in there.
I would say your second best friend should be this book.
Definitely.
So you have the fish and the book, you're set. Okay, so, and the book is set up around, because obviously it's Flexible Pescatarian. There's not desserts, like most cookbooks we expect desserts.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about how the book is set up, so people have
So you're right, there's no desserts in it. It's a completely savoury book, but there's lots of different scope in there. And often books you might find there's ideas for breakfast and things. I haven't broken it down into courses. I've done it more into just types of food. So there's snacks and small plates, which is the first section. And, you know, it could take anything like some salt cod croquettes with a jalapeno mayonnaise. Or there's some seafood scotch eggs, nice simple little things to do, or even just some little dips, like a homemade taramasalata. Now, anybody that sees that tub of bright pale pink taramasalata in a supermarket goes, oh, I don't like that. I don't blame you. It's not always the best flavour. Homemade taramasalata, on the other hand, is gorgeous and it's brilliant. And you can make it, you can pop it in your freezer, it's there to use another day. It will last once it's made, and it's a lovely little dip or a nice little sort of healthy fun snack to have. So there's a section all about that and some little sort of side dishes. And then there's another section about broths, soups and curries. And fish really lends itself to all sorts of sort of liquidy type recipes. So there's a broth, like a miso broth with a mullet in there. There's a South Indian curry, which has got coconut milk and tamarind and all sorts of spicy curries. There's some vegetarian dishes in there as well. They don't all have to contain fish, as I said, to start with. So there's a roasted vegetable vindaloo. You could add some prawns into there if you wanted to make it a prawn vindaloo. So some nice sort of soups and broths. And then there's a section about main dishes and sharing. So some bigger plates like roasted whole fish or tray bakes and things that you can just make, whether it's for every day or for entertaining. Some, you know, more centerpieces. And then the sides and salads, things that work well with fish. So a caper, lemon and cucumber salad, or some lovely lemony roasted potatoes. Some side dishes that contain anchovy butter and that sort of thing, so fishy elements in there as well. And then there's a really important section at the back, which is explaining how you can choose, buy, prepare and cook various types of fish, which is, it's simple and it explains the basics to people that feel as though they are quite daunted and panic when it comes to buying fish. So hopefully it helps people along the way, really, and buying and choosing and cooking seafood and enjoying their pescatarian meals.
Fantastic. I don't think you've missed anything out.
Apart from, you know, you have to eat it all and try it all. There are gorgeous pictures. For every recipe, there is a picture, which I think is important in a book. You need to know what you're sort of aiming for. It doesn't have to look exactly the same. And of course, when you're doing food for a book, you spend a bit of time making that plate look gorgeous. But we eat with our eyes first. So it is important to see what we can cook. And hopefully people will flick through the book and go, I think I might make that tomorrow or the weekend or next time people are over or for lunch. Hopefully something for everybody in there.
Fantastic. And the last thing we have to do after looking at the food is tasting the food. And you have rustled up some tasty dishes for us. What did you make?
I have. I know. It's always hard to know which one to do and something that we could have to nibble on whilst chatting. We've got some Cornish crab pasties. Mm. I love crab. Fresh crab meat or even frozen is fine for this. And it's a mixture of white crab meat, brown crab meat, some little waxy potatoes that are diced up, cooked in a little bit of oil and butter, and some leeks, and then some Cornish clotted cream, some tarragon, lemon, cayenne pepper, and then wrapped up in a lovely light crispy buttery puff pastry, and you bake them in the oven, and they're a lovely snack or lunch or just something to pop in your freezer and you can use another day, really. So I thought I'd treat you to one of those today.
Fantastic. I can't wait. I'm going to be transported to the seaside.
Yes, exactly. Put on your flip-flops and yes, pretend you're there.
Let's go. Bucket and spade yeah, in hand. Fantastic.
Radio Gorgeous, podcasts for women.
So the book comes out on March 14th, and you have a very special book launch that's planned for this book. Tell us about that.
I do. I'm really excited. So on the March 14th, that evening, I haven't done a proper book launch before. And something that both you and I both work on, it's called the Cookbook Festival. And there's a committee of us that are very keen food enthusiasts. And we all have different skills and expertise in all sorts of areas of food and media. And we created this Cookbook Festival in September last year, as you know. But it was a weekend of having authors and chefs and food enthusiasts that came along and were doing cookery demonstrations and talks and workshops to wonderful, excited people that love their food. And we're celebrating cookbooks. There's lots of book festivals, there's lots of food festivals, but this was celebrating cookbooks. And it was a wonderful festival, and we're doing it again in September this year. But throughout the year, we want to try and raise some money to put the festival together. We were all doing it voluntarily. We're raising money for various different charities. Last year, they were based on reading charities. This year, we're going to incorporate a food charity as well. Still in the process of just working out which one. But we need to raise some money along the way. So we're hosting the occasional supper club. It just happened that the date we were talking about was the same date as my book coming out. So we're going to be doing this fish menu with vegetarian alternatives as well, and people can purchase tickets by going onto our website, which is cookbookfestival.org, and then they can access the tickets that way. And you pay to come along. You have a wonderful four-course meal with some extra little bits along the way. I'll be talking about the courses, explaining what they are, talking about the book, have the opportunity to buy the book. Perfect signed copy, brilliant for Mother's Day if people want to, which is coming up. And they know that the funds that are, you know, the money that's being made goes towards the charities that were helping out with the Cookbook Festival in the long run. So it's fantastic, really excited to launch the book that way. And there'll be some tasty recipes, and all of the committee are involved, and we're going to be working hard, cooking dishes, and people can enjoy an evening of fabulous food.
It's going to be absolutely delicious. So put a little fishy on your little dishy, come on out and support us. On the 14th, all the information can also be found on our website, www.radiogorgeous.com. And thank you, Jo.
Thank you very much, Donna.
And for more gorgeous women, go to radiogorgeous.com.
Radio Gorgeous, created by women for women. radiogorgeous.com.